But ask yourself, if we'd learned on November 22, 1963, that the Premier of Russia had been shot from a Moscow office building by a lonely capitalist sympathizer who himself was then liquidated by a patriotic Muscovite within 48 hours while surrounded by armed police, I think it would be pretty apparent to any free-thinking person that a coup d'etat and a transfer of power had just taken place in the Soviet Union. And we would not be asking questions or attacking Jim Garrison or his record. We would, in a free-thinking society, be asking hard questions about why he was killed and what forces were opposed to him. Y'all gotta start thinking on a different level, like the CIA does. Now, we're through the looking glass here, people. White is black, and black is white.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, computer files, email, listen to your phone calls, every wire, every airwave. The more technology you use, the easier it is for them to keep tabs on you. It's a brave new world out there. At least it better be.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, along with my co-host, the great American Judge Buster, Sherman H. Skolnick. Sherman's on assignment tonight. He'll be back tomorrow night. But tonight with me is Captain Eric May of Ghost Troop. Eric, welcome back to the show. It's September 21st. It's 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and it's an honor to have you back on Cloak and Dagger.
Well, happy anniversary to us both, Lieutenant Lenny, because it was September 20th, a year and a day ago, that I first came on your show. At that time, we were working numeric analysis in the embedded code and body count cover-up.
And you've been batting 1,000 ever since, Eric.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, just to throw it out at the top, so we'll have a little bit of a credential and a flourish.
Yeah, give us your credentials.
Well, the big contention of, they can find that online under Ghost Troop Introduction. If they go to search for Captain May on the Google, it'll be the first thing that comes
up. Yeah, and you know, exactly. And Eric, they've already gone to cloakanddagger.de, and your links are there and on the homepage, so we'll take it from there. Go ahead,
right,
give us
exactly.
Your briefing. What's happening with this hurricane warfare? What I call harpicanes.
Well, that's the technology. I'll tell you candidly that when I came back from Camp Casey Crawford, well, I was up there with Cindy Sheehan and that bunch. You know, Texas is my home turf, not George Bush's. He's a Yankee from Connecticut. But when I came back was, of course, when the event was happening in New Orleans. And I came back completely neutral. To me, it was just a storm. I didn't have any judgment of it. And I went ahead and consulted Ghost Troop, and I said, I want you to do analysis of the prospect that this is weather control or weather modification technology and techniques. And I was completely in neutral. Ghost Troop, my dozens of cyber operatives, many of them military and intelligence vets, some of them cyber patriots like you and yours, they came back, and in the course of about 2 days, they put together some of the convincing evidence, much of it involving things like HARP and ionospheric emissions, that we were sold on it, and we made that the theme of our Operation Bono. If your readers go to the site on Cloak and Dagger Radio, which of course they will, all the things I'm talking about will be referenced in my report. And Operation Bono, we called it straight up, Battle of New Orleans. We think that New Orleans was targeted by weather control technology. And
exactly.
The steroidal performance of Rita and before her, Katrina, is by no means accidental.
Right.
It's a clinic in weather control technology. And what you're seeing when you watch the media is basically people watch the media expecting they're going to get information, but what they're getting is programming. Monday morning, we started a new operation, Operation Rita, because Monday morning, as soon as the journalists got up, the first thing they did was to start announcing that there was a tropical storm off the west coast of Florida that was going to become a major hurricane and hit Houston, Texas. And I've been on the Gulf Coast for all my life, and I'm thinking, how in the hell can you say a hurricane's going to go a zillion miles and hit a spot? And then I realized, oh,
Where do you think it's headed for?
It's scripted. Oh, I think it's going to come down here. You know, in the summer, Lenny, when you and I were interviewing about Operation 9112B, which is on the site,
yep.
I was saying Texas City was the false flag target to get us into the World War. That was where they were going to pop the works. And I still think that having set... You there?
Yeah, we're here. I was just saying, go ahead.
Having set up the Homeland Security scenario that they were going to pop in late July at the beginning of the summer recess, and which you and I talked about before, I think they still have to enact all that Homeland Security apparatus. I think there have been deals made. I think there have been people paid off. I think there have been fiefdoms and kingdoms and, you know, dukedoms built up of administrative capital and financial support. And I think they have to have an event to keep the machine oiled. So I think it's going to come straight into Texas. I think it's going to come in Galveston, Texas City. And I think when it's all over, you're going to find that a whole lot of poor black folks are dispossessed of their homes and depopulated from their lands. And a whole lot of petro barons are going to come in and make money.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe a liquefied natural gas facility down in Texas City.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are all kinds of things that could be done with that turf if you could just get rid of the people and start over. You know what I mean? I think that what we play this out is Bush as Nero.
Yes.
You know, we call Bush King George, but this time, this is more diabolical than anything King Charles of England or Louis XVI of France was ever accused of doing. This is mass murder via hurricane. And Wolf Blitzer, by the way, CNN, you know, the Zionist journalist, he runs probably the grimmest show of all, Situation Room, which is a straight-up empowerment scenario inside the Big Brother's headquarters type thing.
Military propaganda.
Right. It's a military propaganda operation, and it's even dressed up like it. He talks about how these are Hurricane 9-11s. And that's, of course, what they are. And it goes back to the prediction that we and you and other people have been making that there would be an event this summer. Well, there have been two events this summer, and we think there was supposed to be a third that Ghost Troop and other patriotic elements of the American government and prior service people like us broke up. But these events are all allowing the python of a fascist state, a homeland security nation, a homeland. For God's sake, they invented a Vaterland clone and made it part of our lexicon. It never existed before 9/11. They're empowering and enacting a homeland.
Well,
and every event like this just brings it closer.
A number of countries, and I understand some narcotics gangs have access to this HARP technology. How does this HARPicane fit into the numerology of it all, the numerology where they like to do things on 777, 9/11, etc.?
I thought you would ask me about that, and what I get on that is that there are numerological clues linked into this, but not on the hurricane events. It's not like 9/11 or 311 Madrid.
Right.
It's not something that's being done by schedule numerologically, but they put numerological flourishes on it. I think these two hurricanes, by the way, have been turned to as desperation, Lenny. Let's make this clear. I don't think we're losing, man. I think we're winning. Because I think these hurricanes have been sick because Bush got his butt kicked by Cindy Sheehan in the summer, and he needs something to get the headlines off of his pathetic self. So I think that he sicked a hurricane on New Orleans. Made a, you know, $200 billion federal payoff, a redistribution, black to white, poor to rich. In other words, that was a desperation move, though. I don't think it was pre-planned. I think Texas City this summer, 9112B, that mission was the pre-planned. And I think the second one, I don't think it's coincidental that it's hitting the Gulf Coast right when the marchers are going to be in Washington. There may be a 500,000 people in D.C., but it won't be in the news. All I can say is that, remember, we call this InfoWar, and at one time, what we do in Gulf Coast, InfoWar, getting the word out, we used to think that was separate from the World War that was coming. Maybe the World War is here. But now we realize it's the same thing, man. There is no difference between InfoWar and World War. This is our sector of the World War. And what they're doing is they're rationalizing and presenting this as a fait accompli, as an event that is to be done.
Uh-huh.
And that's their side of the InfoWar. That's how it works. But in this, there is no numerological crypting. However, I'll give you some little flourishes. The number that came out today from New Orleans, the dead...
Yep.
They gave a number for us. They finally gave us a number.
Oh, yeah?
1,033. Okay, Lenny. 1,033. 33, of course, being their cultic supreme number.
Right.
And, they throw
33 degrees of Freemasonry, of course.
Yes. And then 33 years in Jesus' life when he died, and of course they're satanic, so they like to play with those kind of numbers.
Yep.
1033 also being 133 added together as digit 7.
Right.
133 take the 33s and cook them down to their essence, which is an 11 variable, and you've got 111.
Yeah.
So they throw little flourishes in like that, but I think these hurricane events are actually being driven. I don't think they're proactive. I think they're responsive. I think they're throwing these things out as counterpunches, man. I think this presidency is very unstable right now. It should be. You know, people are waking up to what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, if they're going to cut everybody down, they're late. How many times have we been on talking now? Half a dozen?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't make long-term plans in this business, but that's a long time to be talking.
Now, do you fear for your safety at all? What can you tell us about that?
Well, Houston is Bush country. And Florida is Bush country. Either of those two states I consider to be very bad. Now, unfortunately, I'm in Texas. I'm from Texas. And I say unfortunately, it's my state. They moved in. If this thing goes down, Lenny, candidly, I'm going to have to make sure that I'm under witnesses. I have witnesses with me at all times because that right now I expect we're proximate to a call from the Congress for the president to assume emergency powers in advance of this thing hitting. I think we're going to have martial law before the winds hit, man. And I think that they're going to wind up, they're going to have, you know, who knows, Blackwater Security? God knows. Brown and Root and Halliburton are both about 10 and 15 miles from my house. So I think anybody, I think we've come to a condition in this society in which we must fear for our lives and safety, not just our liberties, but our lives themselves, at any time that the government assumes emergency power. Because the assumption of emergency power is always one step away from tyranny. And I don't know which of the founding fathers said that, but I bet they all did in one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that's so dangerous for the war cabal and this whole paradigm they're working forward, this whole grand deception, as Thierry Messiaen calls it,
Yeah. The
grand illusion, is that the inherent sentiments of America are so very much against the idea of a King George undermining the Constitution and the Declaration that if the public ever wakes up, these guys are toast. The whole war cabal is toast. I think that's why we're at that pivot point in history right now. This summer was the summer when we were supposed to be in world war with a mandate to nuke people, draft people, and put people in prison camps. And what we got is nothing. So I think right now the Bush people are keeping these disasters coming to placate their base, which is, in Marxian terms, capital, and Zionism. Those are the two bases, and they're placating both by dispossessing blacks and giving it to whites. And then, of course, they'll keep us in the war, which placates the Israeli interests.
Well, I don't see how the people are necessarily going to be woken up, but I can tell you this, that one of our regulars, Stefan Grossman of Cloak and Dagger, is on right after this show, and he's on Fox Radio nationally, and he's going to be talking about Harpicanes, as I call them and coin the word. So we'll have to, whether or not, but that's national radio. It's a good exposure for, especially for Stefan and for us here at Cloak and Dagger. But the thing is this, that I don't think the collective consciousness through CNN, Fox News, CBS, NBC, there's no way I don't think that they will be woken up to or given any proof that there's very witty inventions behind this weather pattern.
There's a magical point that I've always known was there in the info war, Lenny. And going back to the get-go when they said this was embedded media before the war started. And, of course, at that time, you and I didn't know that meant they would embed code in the media. But that was a nice trick. You know, my compliments to the devil. They're clever. Going back to that, at that time, we never guessed that it would come to this point. But, you know, it's come to that point at which all information has become propaganda. It's not even mixed anymore. Meteorological information has become propaganda. The extent to which the war cabal has insinuated itself into the professional classes is so great that no information can be trusted. And that's precisely the Achilles heel, the blind flank. The stupid, unprotected part of the war cabal. They thought people would never start asking questions of the pseudo-information they put out. But more and more people are waking up. Now, I've got a Mormon neighbor, and they're hardly Bolsheviks, who went out to go help get hurricane relief to, you know, New Orleans and whatnot, as part of a Mormon group, right?
Right.
And he saw the levee and said it was blown. I mean, it's you know, there's been a whole exodus of black folks from New Orleans coming west, and they're talking. And there's talk going all over the place, and what we're doing is we're coming to the point that we're realizing that the mainstream media, remember, that's just a nexus of convenience. If we decide not to use it, it dies. I mean, they had a rebellion by their own reporters in New Orleans. You probably saw it. Fox News had reporters shouting down people like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. You know, they're quasi-Nazis. And they were shouting them down because it was so glaringly apparent that there was federal withholding of aid in the attempt to induce a further crisis situation to exploit New Orleans. And that came out across mainstream TV in the evenings for two or three evenings. So the media monolith, what I keep coming down to again and again and again, is I think we give these guys much more credit than they deserve. They got the jobs, and they have a reputation for being willing to waste people. And that goes a long way when people are scared of you. But the fact of the matter is, they pull off little floor show stunts every once in a while to keep people rattled. But they don't have the power to have omniscience, omnipotence, or omnipresence in this nation, and never will. They've got to fool us into doing what they want, because they can't overpower us. You see what I'm saying?
Now, what about proof can you give people from your background and your studies about the technologies drive these hurricanes and steer them?
Now, in this question, let me stress, I'm a general purpose intelligence officer, 35 alpha to anybody in the business, and a Russian linguist media specialist and whatnot, and I dabbled in crypto until I had to do a lot of it, and I got pretty good at it, I think you'll attest. But I'm no expert on, you know, Tesla concepts or the heart technology. I'm just getting that from my people now. But I can say that there's an abundance of the bibliographical material that I've used to inform my views, and that I'll refer to more to refine my views, online in our Ghost Troop Rita report, or Operation Rita report. So all that stuff there, I'd rather not talk about it because I'm out of my depth on it. I can merely say that after some consideration and after having my cyber scouts research it for me before I came to a decision, I've come to the decision that it's more than likely the case. And at this, and that view has only been corroborated as the evidence has gone on. For instance, let's skip the technology part and let's talk about the effect that argues there must be technology. Can we go there?
Yeah.
You've got
We've done a lot on Cloak and Dagger about this technology with scientist Lauren Murray, who's Lawrence Livermore new atomic scientist, and we've had Michelle Chosadovsky on years ago talking about it, and so we have had a number of different people on, and our audience, our regular listeners, are very familiar with this witty invention of Tesla and with HARP and the ability to lay cables from the North Pole to the South Pole of the planet and to make use of the magnetic differential of magnetic energy and gravitational energy to promote and to generate these powerful forces. I think that, people who doubt it are mostly want to doubt it. They want to be frightened, and they don't want to believe. They just don't want to believe that man can control the weather. They like to remain in their little cocoons and feel that only God can control the weather.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that the neocons, and, well, I'd say the two groups being behind this, pardon me, the yin and yang of the war cabal is Zionist media and capital, alongside of WASP Illuminatism, which represents the military-industrial complex. I mean, there's the yin and the yang. And I'm sorry, Lenny, I got distracted by my computer. What were we saying?
Yeah, that's okay. Well, basically, what we were talking about was the witty inventions that are kept from the people, and how the people are kept in a techno-peasant state.
Right.
So this is just 1984, where doublespeak and the language is, and the mind of the people are dumbed down by Big Brother in order to make it so that even if you were to give them all the proof in the world that these inventions exist, it would be protected by public incredulity. You don't have to make it top secret and protect it. It's protected just by public incredulity. They won't believe it even if they saw the files.
Well, and for all the best reasons. The people don't want to believe that their leaders can be as depraved and selfish and murderous as they tend to be. In other words, the people suppose that every lesson we've learned from history applies all throughout history until their time and place. And that's the great tragedy of human beings in history. It's kind of like when I ran discipline for a Catholic school, all the parents would come by and say, we want really good discipline for every kid but ours. Everybody thinks that history works everywhere but in their world, and it works everywhere. That's the problem. Well, the reason I brought up that we were saying that basically the Illuminatus Freemasons and the Kabbalist Zionists being a big part of this is because one of the ways they keep the public going is by the creation of anti-miracles. And the hurricanes have been the best possible example of that. Because, well, look at the first one, Hurricane Katrina. It didn't take a day after that hit before the right-wing and fundamentalist propaganda agencies were saying, well, it's a God's judgment on the queerest city in the South. Right? And, of course, the TV shows that it was God's judgment on the blackest city in the South.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they shaped and worked that, but the idea was that it was a divine event. It's some kind of judgment from God, a wrath. And we have to turn to a great leader, or some, the best leader we got, King George. That's the whole shtick, to get everybody to turn to King George. So now what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing like a sequel. This one's bigger, better, and uncut. And it's going to screw Houston. That's how they're advertising this, man. They're building it up like some kind of a porn flick, straight up. And you can see it on all the news. Today on Fox and whatnot, you can see them. How much more powerful is it going to get? Is it going to be bigger than, you know, there's a glee in all this, and I think that's the secret diabolical thing behind all this. There's a constant communication on two levels. One, cultic and between themselves as the power brokers of the global elite, and the other, just a hogwash put over the eyes of the public, which contains the cultic meaning. And that hogwash is called news, or that hogwash is called Hollywood. Oh, by the way, let me come down to the hard evidence that we're following in our ghost troop scenario, because...
Yeah, go ahead.
For any stuff like this, you got to find some kind of an empirical tag that you can grab hold of, or you're just talking theory all the time.
Yeah.
So what we did is we started doing oceanographic charts on average temperatures in the parts of the Caribbean and, Atlantic, where these storms have come from. Katrina and Rita both started within 100 miles of the coast of Florida. Freak storms. They started right there in Jeb Bush's backyard where if they have these weapons via NASA or special operations or whatnot, exactly where they would be. Both of them crossed over the Florida coast with minimal damage and then got supercharged. And all along the way, you've got water temperatures 5 degrees higher than possible. In other words, Lenny, that's like saying you go out and do 20 one-handed chin-ups. I mean, I don't know how strong you are, but probably if you had it in you, you don't now. It's freakish. It's impossible. You can have 5 degree atmospheric variance, but you can't have 5 degree water variance. So what's going on is there's our evidence that there's a beam. There's some kind of radiation, an immense thermal effect. Which, by the way, I brought that up because it parallels, you know how I say that the gangsters run on right on bathroom walls or public walls or your house, but media folks, the war cabal, their graffiti is Hollywood. They write it on the screens. They code it. Well, this whole scenario has been coded by two productions. One of them, a Fox production, Oil Storm, which you probably dealt with a little bit.
Yep.
Fox basically put out this whole scenario as a get 'em ready technique in June of the summer.
Yeah.
And it was all about a, you know, mammoth storm that caused a restructuring of government and logistics in the United States. The other is probably better. It's the day after tomorrow. Did you by chance see it?
I missed
the
it.
Idea that the Gulf Stream was altered by global warming to create a new ice age?
Missed that one, but it's not surprising.
The idea at the root of it was that the Gulf currents, the water temperatures had lost heat, that there was a chilling effect.
Yeah.
And since we often talk about how the people who are satanic or cultish tend to do things backwards, and that's their little secret, we think that whole movie, all throughout it, is basically a coded study in the use of climate control to achieve catastrophic effect and global restructuring, which is what happened in the movie. The only thing is, the climate change that they're going to use is not the one they're going to talk about. The one they talked about was an Arctic enforcement through a drop in water temperature. The reality is it's going to be a tropical enforcement through raised water temperature. So 5 degrees increase in water temperature and something the size of the Florida Keys is like a 100-megaton bomb of force.
Really?
You're talking geological power, man.
Right.
You know, phenomenal. So the idea that we're getting is that they're not controlling the hurricane winds, they're controlling the water that generates them. That basically this is probably, that what I'm getting, and of course this is just empirical, I'm looking at this as a field intelligence officer. You know, I'm not Einstein, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm cavalry. But what I see is I see some kind of control that has these things following like grid lines, straight lines. Haven't you noticed that as a pilot? Haven't you noticed that if you look at Rita and Katrina, what you're getting is flight plans, man.
Yeah.
If you look at the other one, normal hurricanes, you get like rookie pilot, pilot trainee.
Right,
all over. These things are guided, man.
Yeah, they're guided. They're definitely guided, for sure.
I'll tell you the one wild card.
Well, they go in circles, they do loops and come back. I mean, come on. It's just impossible for it to stop, turn around, come back. I mean, that's like stopping the axis rotation of the Earth.
Right. Well, that was last summer. You remember the five hurricanes?
Ivan went out, came back.
Right. And by the way, just to throw it out, your audience will appreciate it, and so will you. Katrina, Ekaterina Uvelikaya, Catherine the Great, and Ivan Grozny, Ivan the Terrible. Both of these are Russian hurricane names. And they both refer to czars of Russia. So if you want to get all cultic and cozy, you know, you've got two people here who represent the most fierce imperial policies of czarist Russia. And by the way, you have a Russian Jewish guy, Chertoff, running the Homeland Security Agency, and this guy looks like Torquemada. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
My God, man. If he weren't Jewish, he'd work for the Inquisition, for God's sake. He looks like Mephistopheles. If he comes out at Halloween, I'm quitting the info war. He's too scary. And his name, do you know what his name means?
No, what does his name mean?
Chortov. Chort is devil.
Really?
His name is Michael. It's an Antichrist name.
Devil.
Mike, and instead of the Archangel Michael, you have Michael Diablos.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, remember, think about it. If you're going to put somebody in charge of what's the right hand of the Fourth Reich that they're setting up. It's Homeland Security. Home Seca is the new Gestapo.
Yeah.
That's why they tried to throw Bernard Kerik in there. You remember that guy, New York cop who was in on the 9/11 deal?
Yeah.
And they wound up having to bounce him because he had too many overt mafia connections.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So what did they do? They went to a Jewish mafia or something. It was a Chertoff guy whose name means devil.
Now, Eric, what do you see for October as far as the numerology is concerned? What numbers are popping up there?
I'll be perfectly honest with you, Lenny. I'm at the point, and I have been all summer, where I've been trying to get through one mission at a time.
Yeah.
And I've got to get... There are two things happening this weekend that are coincident, but not coincidental.
What about 10-10?
Are happening, and we have Ghost Troop out there. We've broken through to a lot of mainstream people now. We got 4 million hits on our site, and we're getting a lot of word out. So Ghost Troop personally will be out of D.C. to continue to do with Cindy Sheehan there what we did with Cindy Sheehan in Crawford, where we were there the last 2 weeks of that operation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the other thing happening this weekend is a storm, the hurricane, which might extend into a national empowerment or regional fascism by next week. Remember, Bush has now got Florida to Texas, because those are both Bush vassal states by dint of who's been the governor, and then the other three states in between have just been kicked in the knees by a storm, and now they're on the federal dole for multi-billions. He's established a Princeton, man. This is now regional fascism if he puts Texas in the bag, and I would say that's coming very quickly. Which now you got to get into classic geostrategic goals. Think about it as royalists versus loyalists. Loyalists are guys like me who right now want to see the Constitution enforced. Royalists are people who want to be part of a war cabal, cutthroat gang aiming at getting into World War III and taking over the resources of the planet and controlling the people at home. And it's a confrontation where the royalists now, I think, lost the opportunity to escalate to World War III, which is what they were trying to do at the outset of the summer. That they have taken over the southern coast of the United States. You have to see it as a military equation.
Right.
They've taken over the oil terminals. They've taken over the territorial waters. They've got themselves a launching pad to do this again, where, you know, if word's out among the top 1% of the insiders in these city governments, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, they may hope that the war cabal falls through, but they're not going to put themselves in danger. Look at poor Mayor Nagin in New Orleans. That man is involved in a state of war versus the Bush boys. He's already said if he gets killed, it's the CIA. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the first thing out of his mouth, because that's the first thing that's out of my mouth. That, you know, those of us who are standing up for the truth and talking truth to power,
yeah,
these guys stay in power for getting a reputation for whacking people. That's why I always like it when my friends like you say, how do you feel? Are you, you know, are you worried about these people? And, of course, the other is, do you feel suicidal? And thank God I'm a good Catholic that goes to Mass every week. No, that's not a problem with me.
Now, what are you going to,
Kelly?
What are you going to do during this hurricane? Are you going to, what plans have you made?
Well, I never discuss operations, Lenny. I can't tell
my right hand
what my left is doing on that one.
No, that's true.
They say
what plans do you, most people will leave, though, right? Most people will leave the city.
Well, in Houston, but then you get into a new realm of problems. You know, what do you do about your property and your effects? Is it worse off for leaving? I'm far to the north of Houston. I used to be dead in the center. Ironically, I moved out because I was convinced that they were setting up the British Petroleum facility down in Texas City for an explosion, and I still believe that, by the way. Incidentally, I would not be at all surprised if this hurricane achieved all the effect of destroying the oil infrastructure, requiring the Bush people who run the state of Texas and are connected with the entire oil cartel to have some kind of massive boondoggle, you know, where this becomes a massive, an extension of the federal transfer of money.
Yeah.
Which, of course, entails the federal transfer of power, and then increase taxes, cut benefits, and you'll have more redistribution.
Yep. Now,
let me just say one thing, Lenny. The scariest thing I heard came out of John McCain's mouth, Senator John McCain.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said, well, maybe we have a misplaced priority. We were trying to make the Homeland Security for terrorists, but maybe it should be for weather events. And I'm thinking, so this is how they're looking at it. They're thinking of going from the terrorist nuking us empowerment scenario to the what the hell, we'll drown them out one city at a time scenario as two means of achieving the same end. They're showing flexibility. They're trying to reorient, and they're not giving up. Nobody's talking about withdrawing any troops. That's the fringe. Even in England, where this thing is, you know, God stinky unpopular, they're not talking about withdrawing from the war. It's full steam ahead.
Yep.
They just have to have enough
tragedy to
bring us into a deeper war.
Before we have to sign off, let me throw some curves at you from left field. What do you hear about what's going on in Venezuela and supposedly American warships on their way down there? Have you heard anything from your contacts?
I'll tell you no, but I've heard there are two things I have heard. Okay, first off, Chavez got himself in a pretty good position with Bush. I don't think right now, you know, King George, I don't think he can afford to go and whack Chavez, especially after Pat Robertson called for it in the name of God. I mean, so I put that Venezuelan naval thing about where I put the rumor that was floating around that the Mexican army was coming north of the border to enforce discipline in Texas. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the Mexican troops. What happened to them?
Look, if they came, I don't know it, but I am from Texas, and we can't agree on much, but I think they could probably agree to oppose the Mexican army that came across the border.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just too many rednecks to put up with that kind of crap.
Okay, now what, Venezuela, we've touched on that. What about Iran? What about their plans to go to Iran over the next few new moons, dark nights? Any plan? What do you think about that?
Who's going to Iran?
The Americans.
No, I think that's contingent upon having, I think that was being, I think they were setting up an Al-Qaeda false flag strike. You know, Ghost Troop calls Al-Qaeda Al-CIA, duh, of course, but we think that that's not something they can just do. They have to have some kind of a false flag attack to allow Bush Nuclear Relief Authority. Man, we don't have the conventional military to fight those people. You know, we have sown the dragon's teeth so badly in Iraq that we don't have Iraq. Iraq has us. And one more war is just what we don't need. Unless you take in the madman's Dr. Strangelove scenario that when you run out of troops, you've always got atoms.
Well, that's it. Will there be, that's Cheney's plan, the nuclear surprise strike on Iran.
Well, that may be. And look, the two most dangerous nations on earth are the United States and Israel, and they're linked together. You know, we're the axis of good. The UK, what did I say? The British-Yiddish axis that runs through New York. That's where it transitions from British to Yiddish. And, you know, this is a whole hog thing. It's the great move of the early 21st century. It is another in a thoroughly banal series of colonial imperial wars that have been mishandled by the so-called great generals of the 20th century. There's been one screwed-up attempt to take over the heartland of Asia after another. You know, it goes all the way back to Catherine. You'd think people would get a clue. It's like, do you ever play Risk, Lenny? You ever play that geostrategic game called, well, chess?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you play Risk or you play chess, there are just certain moves and certain positions that just, they're beginner moves and positions because smart players avoid them. Well, in my view, Bush getting into the Middle East made one of those beginner mistakes. But in his view, it might be that it wasn't a mistake. It allowed us to get our military stuck in there so we'd have an excuse to nuke them later. Start World War III properly. That is where it's going. We're sold on that. This is the Fourth Reich, Third World War, built upon a Reichstag fire, 9/11.
Yeah.
Let me, one thing that I think is important to always bring into Ghost Troop discussion
yeah.
is that our original, the reason we're named Ghost Troop is that, in my case, I saw the Battle of Baghdad covered up in real time with the Jessica Lynch distraction. Maybe many of your listeners know that when we got to Baghdad, they didn't hand us the keys to the city and wash our tanks. There were, you know, thousands, around 10,000 Iraqi, Syrian, and Jordanian people there, entrenched, dug in, and the U.S. Army fought, and the Marines who were with them, fought one hell of a fight, the Battle of Baghdad. Now, that was covered up for 2.5 years, and we dealt with every kind of ridicule for being Ghost Troop, named after those unreported dead people who died so that Bush could come to the May Day flight suit party and say that they'd had a good war.
How many were lost? How many were lost, do you think, in reality?
Well, Baghdad Bob came out and said the next morning they killed 300 and taken the airport back, but the Egyptian sources I were taking said 200, and that was the first punch of the Battle of Baghdad. I put it as high as 1,000, as low as 500 before it's all over. 3rd Infantry Division and Marine Expeditionary Battalion losses. But there are many relative stories about it, but, you know, that was a separate discussion, and we may have it again someday. But let me give you the confirmation bit. We talked about Orwell, and
yeah.
One must think about Orwell to understand InfoWar. The Orwellian truth is starting to come out now. It's been 2.5 years since the Battle of Baghdad, April 5th through 7th, 2003, when they played Jessica Lynch and 1,000 boys died, or 500 boys died. And now they brought the fact that there was a Battle of Baghdad out. For the longest time, I could, no one, everyone thought I was crazy when I said there was a Battle of Baghdad because, as you say, Lenny, people don't want to have their eyes open about foundational things that they've taken for granted. It's natural. A book has come out in the UK. It hasn't even been released in the U.S. It's by embedded reporter David Zucchino, who was with the 3rd Infantry Division in the battle. And it's called Thunder Run. Thunder Run. 3 days with the Tusker Brigade in the Battle of Baghdad. So all you have to remember is Thunder Run, Battle of Baghdad. Google that, and what you'll come up with is about 10 different citations of how you can get it in the UK. The dogs who are releasing the information about the heroic soldiers who have been covered up all that time, first off, don't admit the deaths in the book about the battle. They just admit there was a battle. But second off, while they're admitting there was a battle and that American forces died in high numbers to accomplish that battle, they're bringing it out in England, in the UK, and not in the U.S. Our battle, our dead guys, they bring it out in the UK because that's the chicken crap way they're going to introduce it into history without ever having made it news. Don't you see? They're releasing it by degrees at the exact point that the public has about forgotten about
exactly.
It's Orwellian. It's an Orwellian reconstruction
yeah.
of history.
Well, listen, we're running skinny on time here, and we want to make it short so that we can get this up tonight for all our listeners who are on just the slow phone line. So, Eric, I just want to say, listen, it's wonderful having you come back on and join us at Cloak and Dagger and give us an update on the Harpacane that's coming down on Houston, Texas, and the numerology and everything else. And we want you to come back as soon as you can, and we'll talk. We're looking forward to, you know, October's the 10th month, and you know the 10 code. You're a military guy. 1020 is what's your location, and 1010 and 104.
Right.
And I'm wondering if they're going to use the 10 code to signal their next dastardly orchestrated tragedy.
Well, I tell you what, if I get through this one alive, Lenny, and the jury's still out on that, no one gives life insurance to the Ghost Troop commander nowadays, but if I get through with it, we're going to talk about it. By the next time I talk to you, I'll have thought about the numerological angle. That would be like a vacation compared to current operation, sir.
Absolutely.
It's been a mile a minute, but you guys have been with us at Cloak and Dagger the whole time. We've been in constant cyber combat operations since 7/22/2007. And by the way, we went into action on that day because it plays their numbers back at them. 7/22 means 7, and then 22/11, and then 2007 is 7 back. So sometimes we'll do just what gangs do. We'll take their own signs and play them at them.
Good stuff.
If you want to see more, read our site.
Give us, even though it's on the website, give us your URL of your website.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to pull that up because yep.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. For those of us listening later tonight at 10 o'clock on Fox Radio, Stefan Grossman of Cloak and Dagger, one of our regulars, will be on talking more about Harpacanes. That's on Alan Combs' show on Fox Radio. Take a look at the link at Cloak and Dagger to get to that. And Captain Eric May, will be back real soon with a more update. He's just terrific, telling us all about the Harpacanes and what's going on backstage in the Global Theater.
Well, this is the state of the art, and we like to say, you know, there's a great irony. You know, this is I hope my site hadn't been down. There it is. Okay. You know, the way things go with us, we've never had a site knocked down more than our last interview with you, by the way. Okay, here we go. It's going to be, please pardon me, folks.
The link on our site goes to spirittone.com.
Yeah, /. Go ahead, Lenny.
Well, it's a long one. Do you have a short one there? What's your other one?
The best thing to do is just go Ghost Troop.
Ghost Troop?
Ghost Troop. Just Google Ghost Troop and then Captain May. And you're gonna
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
And you'll get all of our analysis of 911 code going back a year and a half when we have, just to say in parting, we have accurately predicted 2 out of the last 3 British Petroleum Texas City explosions to within 1 day and 24 miles. 24 hours and 24 miles. Now, that's a heck of a trick if it's a trick, but it ain't a trick. We read code. So we are the cutting edge of the info war. We're the cutting edge of the American resistance and the patriotic movement. And it's really fitting because we took our name after the 37th Cavalry, which got killed and covered up at the Baghdad airport. And the 37th Cavalry was the cavalry unit that led the attack against Iraq for King George. So Ghost Troop 37th Cavalry is going to pay him back for covering up our brothers and many others in that war. And we're going to do the counterattack against King George.
Well, good stuff, and we wish you well, and we look forward.
If you want to know where the front is, it's behind us. Just get in behind us. You'll be headed to the info war front.
Good stuff. Well, we'll look forward to that. Thanks a lot, Captain May, and we'll see you again soon. And keep your head down and keep your spirits up.
Take care, brother.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
What the hell happened to the America that I've known and loved?
Right, we sent rockets to photograph the rectal passages of Jupiter, and the kids wind up in porno films. They violate the laws of Newton and Christ, and then we wonder why a bunch of bandits with towels on their heads have got us by the nuts.
Baghdad! Don't underestimate Baghdad!
A city rich in romantic oriental lore.
You want answers?
I want the truth! The truth.
Baghdad! You must investigate Baghdad!
And learn a few of the facts you never knew before.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.